Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown, here with co-host Meredith DeFrancesco. On today's show...
Pathway lasted for 160 years through the Depression, and NAFTA blows us away.
Laid off workers from our community speaking out about free trade agreements that have sent their jobs overseas and demanding access to health care in part one of a two-part series we'll be bringing you. But first...
Born out of the Jim Hightower's New Chautauqua, a popular education event addressing the power of multinational corporations, a number of discussion groups have organized in Maine. Based on the Women's International League for Peace materials, groups are engaging in a 10-week educational course. Rockland's group, which meets every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at St. Peter's Church, has announced March 26th session will be a historic overview of corporate influence on government, and April 2nd will be on corporate personhood. For more information, call Matt Clark, 594-6453.
And a new group has formed in the area calling themselves Food and Medicine. They say, quote, "We are workers who've been laid off because of free trade. In the past year, over 1,000 workers in the Bangor area have lost their jobs because of free trade. We do not believe people should be forced to choose between food or medicine, though many in the Bangor area today are faced with that choice. In our country, the wealthiest in the world, health care should be a right, not a privilege. Our main goal is to get affordable health care. We believe that if we stand together, we can make a difference. We have a petition circulating trying to make health care more affordable. Also, we are having a fundraising community dinner on April 6th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Central Labor Council Union Hall in Brewer, which is on Ayer Street. There will be raffles and live entertainment. And for more information, you can call 989-4141.
On Friday, March 22nd, Bangor was the stopping place for an international speaking tour addressing the effects of free trade. Marcina Cardenas de Alarcón from the Mexico Solidarity Network, David Kane, a Mary Knoll lay missioner working on FTAA issues in Brazil, Marceline White from the Coalition for Women's Economic Development and Global Equality, and Tom Hansen from the Alliance for Responsible Trade spoke about the international effects on workers of free trade agreements such as NAFTA, the proposed FTAA, Free Trade Area of the Americas, and a Central American Free Trade Agreement. At each stop, the tour is joined by local speakers. In Bangor, the evening was sponsored by a number of organizations, including PICA, Peace Through Inter-American Community Action, and the Bangor Central Labor Council, in an event titled The Way Globalization Should Be, People of the Americas Speak Up for Each Other. The local speakers, which will play for you today, were primarily laid-off workers from Maine's clothing, shoe, and wood product factories, facilities which closed to take advantage of cheaper labor outside the United States.
I'd like to thank all the organizations involved with this program. It is an honor to be here with you tonight. I must say, given my limitations as a public speaker, I'm humbled for being asked to be here. Let me introduce myself. My name is Pat McCoy. I'm a 49-year-old father of four, been married 29 years to a very lovely lady, and I'm blessed to have three unbelievable grandchildren. I'm also a 1970 graduate of John Babs High School, right over next door here. And I spent the last 6 years as an elected officer for the IAM Machinist Union at the Costigan facility. I'm now a member of the UFCW, Local 1445, and an officer in the Greater Bangor Central Labor Council in Brewer. I'm also currently a full-time student enrolled at the University of Maine Augusta Bangor campus in the Mental Health Human Services Program, in the Bachelor Program with a major for Gerontology. I hope to become an advocate for the elderly. There's a hatred going in Maine. It's an aversion between those that have and those of us who have not. And it's only getting worse. In the last year alone, 1,000-plus workers in Eastern Maine have lost their jobs. I stand before you, one of that 1,000. I might make note that in the last week, another 500 have been notified that their jobs may be lost. If you're my age, you can recall when your mom and dad told you their version of the American dream and how to achieve it. Study hard, work hard, and you will be rewarded. The three-bedroom home, the white picket fence, 2.1 children, and above all, job security. You see, we were told that if we did what our bosses and politicians asked us to do, the American dream, the good life, was ours for the taking. Now, I don't want to sound cynical, but I sometimes wonder if there ever has been an American dream for us common folk. What a symbol of pride our workers have been throughout the years. Their ingenuity, expertise, determination, and pride in workmanship are what stories have been written about. Let us not forget that on the backs of many a proud worker, and out of their hard-earned money, many a foreign aid program or rebuilding project for a disadvantaged country has been funded. So here we are today, our own citizens, brothers, sisters, friends, and neighbors, all who have been and still are the very base of our existence as a country, are being treated as disposable byproducts by the very country they love so much. Stripped of their jobs, their dignity, and their pride by a country that continues to ship jobs to other countries and by a government that refuses to stand up to big business and, in particular, in the insurance industry. At best, this is intolerable. This glaring reality was brought home to all of us by the Washington legislative fiasco called the Economic Stimulus Bill. Now, let's touch on that for a moment. Our elected officers recently passed and the president signed this bill. Great, so you think. You tell me. No help on affordable insurance issues. Big business gets their tax break, albeit not as much as they wanted. And the unemployed get their 13-week extension. So you say, what could be so bad? One argument for the extension was a large number of workers displaced when companies closed their doors and moved overseas or to Mexico. You need to know that this bill, and I emphasize as I understand it, and I hope that I'm wrong, and if I am, someone needs to let me know. But this bill in no way helps any of us now on TIA or TRA programs. Each week of extended UI benefits will cause 1 week of TRA benefits to be lost, one-on-one exchange. For those displaced and not qualified for TAA, the extension is beneficial, and I'm sure most gratifying. However, most of those workers were not in jobs that were dispersed overseas. The workers in the state of Maine, the shoe industry, textile, lumber, and paper, along with others that so desperately need retraining, appear to lose out. Meanwhile, the insurance industry continues to run amok with people's lives. Last year, if I did not have insurance, the cost to keep me alive via prescription was $9,300. That's $715 a month for me alone. And I'm not even talking about my wife and children. On unemployment, I'll receive $272 a week, which is $1,088 a month, with, and I emphasize, no state or federal taxes withdrawn. I'll get hit with those taxes later on. But I need the entire UI check to survive. This leaves $373 a month, or $93 a week, to pay all my bills and buy food. My household expenses are $1,500 a month. You do the math. It wouldn't be long before I'd be in trouble. My only choice was to cash in my 401 retirement fund. Being 49, I was hit with a 20% early withdrawal fee penalty. not a good feeling. What faces me now is no different than what thousands of dislocated workers, the elderly, and even those people fortunate enough to have a job and insurance only to find themselves with a $5,000 deductible face each and every day. I ask our elected officials and those who seek office, what choice would you make? Would you skip your medications and hope for the best, thereby able to pay bills and keep your home? Or would you stay on your medications and watch everything you work for be taken away? Tough decisions. Decisions that more and more of us are required to make each and every day. Remember that American dream I spoke about earlier? It's still out there for the wealthy. Unfortunately, in today's reality, most of us now see it as a nightmare. A person's right to quality, affordable health care is exactly that, a right, not a privilege for those of means. This country should, at the very least, be disgraced. We need affordable health care, and we need it now. Thank you.
Can you hear me back there? Hello, my name is Juanita Prescott. I was laid off from Saucony Shoe last November. After working there for 24 years, today I come here as a representative for Food and Medicine. We are a group of laid off workers who have joined together to support affordable health care. We want everyone to have affordable health care and not experience what myself and so many other people are going through. For 24 years, I was used to getting up, going to work, putting in long days, and working with my coworkers. I had health insurance. I never had to worry about health care, food, or paying my bills. And now, because of cheap labor and free trade, I have no job. There was no warning, no notice on November 9th when they let us go. I went to work as usual, and at 11 o'clock, we were told to go in the conference room. And there, we were told we no longer have a job. That management was taking the company to Asia. About 40 people just sat there in shock. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. After a few minutes, we started to cry. I kept thinking, what am I going to do? How are we going to live? You see, my husband got laid off the day before I did. We have no health insurance. I could have kept my health insurance, but my COBRA was $750 a month. I can't afford that, not on unemployment. My husband and I are going back to school, and hopefully we can get a steady job and good benefits and get a job that doesn't move to a foreign country. Please give us your support. And we are having a benefit dinner on April 6th. We are selling tickets for the dinner. The money that we raise, half of it will go to our group, and the other half will go to the CLC. We have flyers on the table against the back wall. Thank you.
Sorry, this I'm supposed to be Judy Gay. Judy Gay actually wrote a letter, which I'm going to read to Senator Snow and Collins, but she is sick tonight, so they're looking for somebody else who's been active in Maine, which is Maine Association of Interdependent Neighborhoods, and they latched on to me. So I am reading Judy's letter. So just imagine that I am Judy Gay and saying this right now. Okay? This is to Senators Snow and Collins. For 20 years, the Maine Association of Interdependent Neighborhoods has been an effective advocate for Maine's mostly economically disadvantaged citizens, including approximately 33,000 children without health insurance and a rising elderly population for whom possible health care costs in the future are causing a lot of anxiety in the present. Maine members are proud of our record of teaching ourselves how to help create bills, work with state legislators, get our message into the news media, and influence policy that does not punish people for being poor or see people as defective because they have no money. Now we are seeing a huge increase in the number of Maine working people being laid off. You just heard a couple of them. Due to trade laws like NAFTA that give corporations the right to relocate to countries where human and natural resources can be exploited without penalty. It's a real lose-lose scenario. Contrary to what some may believe, many of us who have lived on or are living, who have lived on or are now living on public assistance do not see laid-off workers, unionized or not, as belonging to some other class. They, like us, are in the huge class of citizens whose children's needs are not being met in the richest country on earth and whose voices are not being heard in the world's greatest democracy. In previous years, you have spoken against Fast Track Trade Authority as being anti-democratic since it takes so much power from Congress and gives it to the executive branch. We thank you for your courageous stand and hope you will continue to see Fast Track this way. If, however, you choose to change your vote, and we really, 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 really don't want you to change your vote, but if you change your vote and further relinquish your ability to represent the people of Maine, we hope you will support expanding the Trade Adjustment Assistance Program to include a 75% support level for COBRA. Also, the insurance companies need to be doing the government collection on this, not the poor workers. These families are already faced with choosing between buying food or medicine, not food and medicine, food or medicine, not to mention the possibility of losing their homes, their children's college funds, their self-respect, and their hope. NAFTA and other trade legislation has created a reign of terror within a rising number of Maine families. Please stop this outrage. Vote no on Fast Track. Please vote no on Fast Track. Please vote no on Fast Track. Or at least vote for 75% support for COBRA. Sincerely, Judy Gay, Maine Association of Interdependent Neighborhoods.
Hi, I'm Donna Shallon, and I work at CF Hathaway down in Waterville, Maine. I was asked to come up by the PICAs, and I'm really not prepared with a speech because we were just notified Monday that we're going to be closed on June the 30th. And we came up here to find out what support or how to go about trying to keep our mill here. I mean, Hathaway lasted for 160 years through the Depression, and NAFTA blows us away. If our work goes overseas, they can't have that little label in the shirt that says CF Hathaway, made in USA. We all took pride in our work. We almost closed twice, and we won. We came back, and we fought. We found people to buy us. We found people to put money into us. Hopefully, we can find work and the volume of work that we need to keep afloat to keep us there in the city of Waterville. If we close, the city of Waterville has nothing. We lost Scott Paper Company, and it will devastate the city of Waterville. It's not a big community, but it's there. And we just can't understand. We met with the management people once a month, and every time that we met, everything is looking fine. We have orders. We have more orders coming in. We're going to go up from 22 to 2,800. We met with them. And then that Monday, this Monday here, we were called in the cafeteria, and we were told that the place was closing June 30th. The first question out of all the union was why? And then we were finding out just little that it was because of Walmart. And Walmart helped us to stay afloat the last time that we almost closed. They asked us to drop our prices in producing the shirts. We did that. All we asked was just to have a little bit more volume. Walmart turned around and says, "We're sorry, but we can't offend the people overseas." Well, how about offending the people that work here in the United States? I mean, we have that little label that says Made in USA, and we're the only company in the USA that can say it, that makes Hathaway shirts or any other kind of shirts. We have the right to say Made in USA because we make it right from the piece goods all the way down to shipping it out. And we hope that we can say, if we can last through the Depression and make a go of it, I don't see why we can't last through this NAFTA. And hopefully, people will stop going overseas or stop buying those things that come overseas. Thank you.
And this morning in Bangor, a group of about 30 people, including some of the local laid-off workers, including some of the folks you've been hearing from, and representatives from the Central Labor Council, PICA, the Maine People's Alliance, the Peace and Justice Center, I miss anybody, several unions, converged on the offices of Senator Olympia Snowe and Senator Susan Collins with some symbolic gifts and petitions. The gifts included one of the last Saucony shoes that was made in Maine, a Hathaway shirt, and a 2x4 from the Costigan Mill. We don't have time today to bring you coverage of that, but we were there taping it, and we'll bring you coverage of that next Thursday at 4.
Listening, no power.
Billy Bragg with No Power Without Accountability. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown.
We'd like to thank Helen York for engineering, Andy Buckley for web support and behind-the-scenes work, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at the station or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on our website at www.freespeech.org/RAN or at mainindymedia.org. Join us again next Thursday for part two of this series. Stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now!